This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Shivram Gopinath is a poet and spoken word performer from Singapore who has been featured in, among others, the Singapore Writers' Festival and the Singapore Heritage Fest. He's also a two-time champion of the Singapore National Poetry Slam. In his work, he touches on issues of identity, culture, and how poetry can be a means of expression for various communities. Shivram is in KL to run a poetry workshop tomorrow, the 11th of August, with Spill the Ink Poetry Lab. Shivram is here with me today. Thank you for joining me, Shivram.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about how you first decided that you were a spoken word performer.
Well, I started writing poetry in university, actually, in a very sorry attempt to impress girls. As it often begins, yeah. Which obviously didn't... serve me well. but I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a spurt of spoken word events and open mics happening in Singapore. And one of my very good friends, Deborah Emmanuel, who used to run an open mic, asked me to give it a shot. And I think it was just the first... that evening where I could see and feel the adrenaline of a spoken word performance kind of got me hooked and kept making me come back to it.
Why performing poetry versus writing? Which, I mean, of course, there's writing involved in the performance, but what draws you to the performance aspect?
I think it is the instant feedback you get because you are performing to an audience, however small or big. And the kind of instant feedback or validation is pretty addictive, for me at least. So while I do enjoy the writing process, of course, I mean something has to be written in order to be performed. It is the audience that gives you that keeps feeding you back for what you give them, and that process I find very, very exciting.
Do you write poetry that is meant to be read on the page only, or is all the kind of poetry you write for performance?
I am working on a book of poems which stay on the page, I suppose. But I would say most of the time I write it with a ear to how it's going to sound. So for sure that matters to me when I'm writing or putting together a poem.
You're originally not from Singapore. Tell me a little bit about how it is that you've now come to live there.
So I grew up in India, in Chennai, and I think I was there until high school, after which I think my dad felt it would be good for me to be out, get out of the country. I don't know. and off I got packed off to Singapore, which was not too far from India, but also, safe and, ticked all the boxes for them. And that's how I ended up there.
And this was when you were a student?
Yeah. So, when I moved to Singapore for university.
And how long have you now been there?
Sometimes it feels like too long, sometimes not long enough. I've been there since 2002.
Mm. So do you consider yourself as much now Singaporean as you are Indian?
It is definitely a home, too. I definitely feel at home both in Singapore and in India. And I miss the other place when I'm not there.
And these are, of course, themes that appear both as subtext and sometimes quite obviously in your work. Did that sort of happen just quite naturally?
I think it did happen. There was no deliberate effort to write about that feeling of displacement. It was very, very natural, actually. I kind of tended towards writing that after a certain point.
How would you describe your poetry and your spoken word performances to someone who's never heard or read them?
Lucky them. I think what I might say about my poetry is I would like it to be very honest, kind of an empathetic mirror of sorts to what is going on around us. How I'm feeling within myself. It is often sort of laced with satire, which I enjoy a lot. There is humor. I think human satire, I find, are very useful tools when you're getting a message across. So I use that a lot. In terms of my performance, you just got to see it, I think.
Well, actually, as you describe it, and having seen you perform, mm-hmm. what you do brings together many elements, yeah? It brings together things like as disparate as stand-up comedy to poetry recital mm-hmm. to a little bit of perhaps even acting. Were you always inclined towards being on stage?
Not at all, actually. I was, and still am, in many ways, a very, very shy person. So I don't have an acting or a theater background, but I consume lots of it. I consume a lot of stand-up comedy and television and internet shows and all of that. So I think it is learning by seeing for me. No sort of formal inclination towards the stage at any point.
And what do you think it is about your work that has actually reached out to appeal to so many people, and people across boundaries, across cultural boundaries, across class boundaries even, and in a place like Singapore?
Well, I don't know if it has reached. Let's assume it has, at least
from someone from the outside,
yes,
I think. Yeah.
A few good people. I think, I mean, if I were to hazard a guess, I think people are innately interested in things, and they can quite easily see through somebody who is doing something for effect or somebody who genuinely wants to put across a point of view. If it's rooted in a specific culture, so a lot of my poetry references my Tamilness and my brownness and the things I eat and the things I, you know, grew up around and so on, and how it affects me now. It is definitely banking on the fact that people would be interested. And I think people are interested in things that present something truthfully. And it doesn't matter if it's rooted in a culture that they may not be familiar with. So I think that helps.
I think when you say truthfulness, that is something that feels quite significant to me, because it is now sort of the done thing to mm-hmm. want to talk about identity mm-hmm. Or cultures, and to even kind of a sudden exoticizing of things that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance that line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very easy to sort of fetishize oneself or like one's own culture, I think. I think when I was growing up, I felt... And I think this is common for a lot of Indian kids, I would think. There is a general level of insecurity in your Indianness and in your appearance.
Even for someone growing up in India?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's always something making you feel that way,
oh,
right?
Sure.
There's
yeah.
always something above you, and you find those things, or those things find you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was, while I was simultaneously proud, I was also, you know, something was pulling me away from what I was. So I think it was those feelings of anxiety and insecurity that are trying to find a release now. So I'm trying to go back to embracing the things that made me, to sort of counteract my feelings when I was growing up, I think, if I were to kind of seriously analyze it. So I catch myself sometimes exoticizing something or fetishizing something, but I'm happy that I can catch myself. And I think the measure with which to see if you're doing that is if it feels like a trick, if it feels like something you are making up, and you know when you're doing it. And I'd like to think I would always know when I'm doing that and try and avoid that.
Well, we need to go for a break now. Mm-hmm. But when we come back, I'd like to hear more about, because your workshop is essentially about useful honesty in poetry. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to hear more about what that actually means. I'm speaking to Shivram Gopinath, who is a poet, writer, and spoken word performer from Singapore, who is here in KL for a poetry workshop that's happening tomorrow, the 11th of August. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to writer and spoken word performer Shivaram Gopinath, who is here from Singapore to run a poetry workshop tomorrow on the 11th of August. So Shivaram, your poetry workshop is called Useful Honesty in Poetry. What does it actually cover? What do you intend to teach?
Well, it's a three-hour workshop. Yeah. So what I want to do in those 3 hours is to try to get the people in the workshop to appreciate the difference between being honest for the sake of it or for effect or as a gimmick, as opposed to it being useful and in a way that gives something to people listening to it. Because honesty, I feel like without kindness sometimes is torture. You can be honest and be a terrible person. But it is in the forming of a poem, especially in a spoken word piece, you always want to have a core of honesty in all your work. It is about developing that, looking at that from the outside, seeing if it really is honest, if it is doing justice to your abilities and your thinking. The workshop is kind of designed to make the participants hopefully be able to feel that in their poetry.
I find the use of the word kindness quite interesting because it doesn't often pop up in anything really that involves training or workshops. Why take that approach? Kindness in terms of what?
Kindness both to themselves. I think poets can be very, very insecure creatures and too harsh on themselves, and that happens a lot. Mm. So I think the kindness works both ways, both being kind and empathetic towards your audience who is there to listen to you, presumably, and also to yourself in the forming of it, not beating yourself up, not putting yourself under stress, doing it easy, you know? I think that for me is kindness for a poet.
In terms of your own work, what are some of the things that you've done in the last few years or since you started performing, really, that you would consider the highlights?
I think for me the highlight would be the most recent one, which is also the example I remember the best. We're working on this show called Main Shayar Toh Nahi, which means I'm not a poet in Hindi.
Mm-hmm. Also the song from Bobby.
The song from Bobby, that is the reference, which is a collaboration between poets Pooja Nansi, Pranamika Subbalakshmi, myself, and an amazing guitarist, musician called Isuru Vijayasoma. And it kind of, the show melds our poetry with Tamil and Hindi film music that is performed in an amazing way by Isuru. So we worked together to piece the show together, meld it with music to explore, you know, Indian / brown experiences in Singapore. Mm-hmm. So we borrowed each from our little histories and soundtracked it basically. So that was very, very cool. That would be my highlight.
Well, you do use your Tamilness both in terms of language and your own experiences in your work. How do you work this in a way that I suppose resonates with an audience that may not come from that same experience, sometimes may not necessarily understand the words that you use?
I think it's fine. It's fine if people don't understand certain words that I say. I mean, we're walking around with so many things that we don't understand, but we get it. It maybe people should look it up. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it is okay to demand something of an audience too. Mm. You don't always have to spoon feed everybody. It does still exist in silos. There is a Chinese poetry scene. There is an English poetry scene, and there's a Tamil poetry scene, and so on. So it is If there is kind of a crossover, it usually happens with Chinese, predominantly because it is the dominant language, right? But yeah, more crossovers would be amazing. I mean, because we have such rich, lush languages, and I think it just needs a little bit of cleverness in putting those together and seeing what they can bring to poetry and to English, and not being afraid to experiment with that.
Do you perform primarily in English, or have you also done work in other languages?
I would say I would call myself a poet that writes in English. I have performed in Tamil, but I wouldn't call myself a Tamil poet. I think there is a lot to be developed there in order for me to call myself that.
Is there a Tamil spoken word scene in Singapore?
I think there is a small scene. I don't know how much it can grow to be, because I think it can. But it is, I would say, yeah, honestly, small.
Mm.
But there are some some amazing people who are in it. So I'm hoping it does grow.
And what do you think are the main challenges when it comes to doing work that is rooted in identity and culture, and sort of trying to get it to appeal to someone who may not be from a similar background?
I think it is the effort that you sometimes can feel yourself making in order to get it over to somebody. I think if you come from that, that should not be the ambition, I feel.
Mm.
That would be an amazing effect. But if you start off with that, I think you're always going to strive for an audience that is, you're always going to be reaching up to them.
And to go back to that question of honesty,
mm-hmm.
You run the risk of that exoticizing yourself for the benefit
exactly.
of the audience.
Exactly. And that happens a lot too. And so it is that. I think it is trying to find the motivation that is not in my mind, that is not with the audience in mind, or the kind of audience you're trying to reach. I think if you start off that way, you're starting off with a huge disadvantage for yourself.
So who were some of the poets or writers or performers that inspired you when you first started, and perhaps now you find interesting or inspiring as well?
I think the poets that really inspired me were the poets that I actually met. In school, it was poetry was all dead white people, right? It was all William Wordsworth and Longfellow, which were all great. I would imagine, but it was only that. So I really got interested in poetry because I could meet the poets and find out more about them. So people like Deborah Emanuel in Singapore is an amazing poet and amazing person. There's Mark Nair, who I've worked with on a few projects. There's Pooja Nancy, who I'm working with on a project now. I think the poets that I meet are the ones that, really inspire me. Poetry, I've read this. Bharatiyar inspires me a lot. The freedom nationalist movement, Tamil poet from the independence era. I refer to his work a lot in the making of mine. I also like this American poet, C.A. Conrad, who was introduced to me by my friend and also another favorite poet of mine, Divya Victor. So I would say 90% of the poets that inspire me are people who I've shook hands with and shared a meal with or had a drink with.
And where do you see yourself going in, is there something you aspire to do that you haven't yet done?
I think definitely finding the discipline to write more. I'm a very...
It's every writer's...
Yeah, I'm a very notoriously, shamefully undisciplined writer. And so I try and find other people to give me deadlines or things to work towards. So in the pursuit of that, I'm working on a book. So hopefully I can complete that by the end of next year. Seems like a reasonable deadline, but until I...
Depends when you started,
yeah,
I think.
Until I get my hands on it, yeah. But that's something I'm working on.
Definitely, there's a lot of conversation now, both in Singapore and Malaysia and globally, about giving voice to people who didn't generally have a voice, or allowing people into spaces like literature or film or performance that was usually reserved for certain groups. As you mentioned earlier about school generally being filled with dead white men, dead white male poets, now that we have, or we're starting to have, more voices, a multiplicity of voices, how do you see those core sort of the traditional greats? How do you position them in relation to your work?
They just become one more poet, you know. There's so much you can see on online. There's just a million things to discover that are outside of a textbook. And so they become reference points because they were the OGs, as the cool kids say. They become another reference point, not the reference point, which they were when you're growing up.
And is it also about finding new reference points that perhaps resonate with you more than they might have?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's so easy to do that now.
Because you do things like poetry workshops and you teach poetry, do you see yourself as someone who introduces poets to these voices that perhaps have not been given enough space?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is it's become a democratization of talent and writing and output, right? So I think it is invariable if you're teaching poetry that you are introducing people to poetry and poets that they wouldn't have otherwise known about. People have a very sad and fixed understanding of poetry as this long thing that they have to memorize or mug up, or as we would say in school. That is still the case for the majority of people. So it is a pleasure to challenge that and introduce people to new poets who are doing crazy, crazy cool things.
I've been speaking to Shivram Gopinath, who is a poet, writer, and spoken word performer from Singapore, who is here in KL to run a poetry workshop tomorrow, the 11th of August. The workshop, called Useful Honesty in Poetry, is by Spill the Ink Poetry Lab at the Raw Art Space. Tickets are priced at ringgit 55 and are available at spilltheink17.ptix.com. Now, before we go, Shivram has agreed to perform one of his pieces for us. So, Shivram, I'll let you take it away.
Sure. This poem is called No Fear, and it references this poem by Bharatiyar. And my poem is structured as kind of an epilogue to his poem. அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. இச்சத்தில் உள்ளோரும் எதிர்த்தெணிந்த போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. துச்சமாக எண்ணி நம்மை தூறு செய்ய போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. பிச்சை வாங்கி உண்ணும் வாழ்க்கை பெற்றுவிட்ட போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. இச்சை கொண்ட பொருளெல்லாம் இழந்துவிட்ட போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. கச்சனிந்து கொங்கை மாதர் கண்கள் வீச போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. நச்சிவாய் குணர்ந்து நண்பர் ஊட்டு போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. பச்சை யூனி ஐந்து படைகள் வந்த போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. உச்சி மீது வானிடிந்து வீடுகின்ற போதிலும் அச்சமில்லை அச்சமில்லை அச்சம் என்பதில்லையே. நோ ஃபியர், நோ ஃபியர், நோ சச் திங் எஸ் ஃபியர். There are voices that say we are the generation of easy. Too easily irked, too easy to smirk, too easily amazed, too easily easy. We are keyboard warriors. We are, thank God it's Friday, zombies. Our selfies are just cries of help me with a filter on. Every year our phones get better, but we don't. There are voices that say we are our own sad commentary, The Walking Dead, our documentary. We are reckless, we are feckless, we are uncut diamonds on an unworn necklace, we are know-it-alls and do-nothings. We are sheep, herded by corporate sheepdogs, sheriff of our courage and opinions. We are lemmings dressed up in suits and ties, moving up escalators to edges of 9-to-5 cliffs where we happily fall and die deaths while still alive. We are chicken reared in touchscreen cages, shackled by earphone chains, force-fed half-truths and reality shows. We are rom-com prom kings, all shine, no substance bling-blings. We are oysters without pearls, we are all fake eyelashes and curling iron curls. We sting like butterflies, we work like bees, we have weak hearts and weak knees, but I know those voices are wrong because I know you. You are a fire-breathing dragon with a heart of gold. Your potential is a determined single mother. You are a warrior princess. You are a king in waiting. Look at your hand. Your hand. It is your hand. With those hands, you will mold grand things in your image. You're a slashing razor blade, our first aid. You're our solace and refuge. You don't scramble for droplets. You know there is an ocean inside of you. Have you seen the children? And how happy they are to be running, to nowhere in particular, happy to just be running. You run like that with no fear, no fear, no such thing as fear. You are not a lemming, you are not sheep, you are not chicken. You are lions and lionesses with no fear, no fear, no such thing as fear. Achamillai, achamillai, achamenbadillaiye.
Thank you, Shivram.
Thank you. Pleasure.
You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.